Welcome to All Things in the Name of Love. If you like this show, please like, subscribe, and share. Thanks. Welcome to another episode of All Things in the Name of Love. And today I have with me a beautiful soul, Susan Sophia James, who reached out to me last week, and we both felt synergy for this. Among other things, I'm going to say this word because it came in when I was writing up my description of you. You're a multifaceted healer. Among other things, you use sound and music, dream work, and so many other things, and you help people align with their journeys. So I want to thank you so much for reaching out and having a conversation with me.
Well, thank you for connecting. It feels like a great connection.
Yeah.
So I appreciate you too.
Oh, thank you.
And the work you're doing. Yeah.
Thank you. So we were talking a few minutes before I pressed record, and, you know, because of the little discussion, I thought it would be great to start off with a question of, tell people about your spiritual journey a little bit, because I think it's really interesting.
Okay, so I'm going to start with being a child. And when I was very young, I remember having visitors at night. And I haven't really talked about this. Although I've had a myriad of spiritual experiences, that piece I really haven't talked about. I remember being 5 years old and looking into the sky and going, why did you leave me here? What is this place? Come back and get me now. I want to go home.
Wow.
And yeah. And then I completely forgot that happened until I was in my 30s. The reason why I want to share that is because it's time for people to talk about things that we haven't spoken about and to allow other people to remember and also to integrate those other experiences, because there's been so much suppression. So now we're in this more open time and we're talking about transformative experiences and spiritual awakening, but a lot of maybe interactions with certain kinds of beings has not been as much talked about.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's why I want to talk about it some.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So I think a lot of people who are healers have exposure to a lot of difficulty in their childhood or, you know, growing up, and that's part of understanding what it's like to be on earth and the issues that people have and to experience some traumas. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that happened to me was that my parents divorced, and my mother at the time, she had a quote, nervous breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they called it back in the day. And now, you know, I learned much like many years, decades later, that she had experienced a lot of sexual abuse, which is why people have, quote, nervous breakdowns.
Yeah.
We don't really use those terms anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I could hear my father's thoughts, and usually you hear intense thoughts, like not just random thoughts, like I got to take out the garbage, but more intense. So the thought that I heard from him was, because I lived with my father, was like he was afraid I would be crazy like my mother. And so that was kind of a really big wound for me.
Yeah, yeah.
And I held it, even though I had many you know, peak experiences, spiritual awakenings, Shaktipa experiences, out-of-body experiences, heightened dream experiences. I still had that somewhere inside of me. And then one of the things that's important for people is to know there's often something, if we can learn one thing from an experience, it changes the dynamic of how it affects us, and it helps us to take back our power.
Mm-hmm.
So many, many decades later, I realized, even though I've had programs where I train people in energy medicine and sound healing. And I still have that little kind of piece. So it's a layer of the onion, talk about the shadow. And when I realized that the purpose of that was to protect me for a certain period of time, then it changes the dynamics of what that was. So that was like taking back the power of it. So it's like working through the trauma of it or whatever the experience is to gain some inner strength. So that was a very important piece. I've had different spiritual teachers in terms of I studied with a woman named Shirley Nelson, who worked for the Tucson Police Department, finding children that were missing. And at that time, this was the 80s, probably the late 80s. And she would use a school photograph because there were no cell phones then. And that's how she would track people, and she could find them in the world. So it's kind of an advanced kind of remote viewing. So I trained with her. And then I also trained with a woman named Heather Valencia. And at that time, she called herself the wife of the Yaqui medicine man because he was the dynamic force of the Yaqui nation and actually did a lot for them. But he was also feared and revered. And later she claimed the name Cherokee Shaman, which she was. But there, and it's a certain era of people, perhaps, but there were a whole series of books by Carlos Castaneda about the way of the Yaqui. And I think there were about 7 or 8 books, and a lot of people came to Tucson looking for this guy named Don Juan Matus, who was the he was kind of like the gatekeeper that taught about claiming your power and advancing and interdimensional travel and things. And so a lot of people think that that was false because he wrote the books as fiction, but they really were not fiction. They were nonfiction. So I studied on a street on the Yaqui reservation with that guy's name, and he had built part of the house, which was an energy vortex. So when you went to the bathroom, there was a special rock in the bathroom so you wouldn't fall through the vortex.
That's awesome.
So yeah, that was a dreaming training and kind of interdimensional. And then I also was an apprentice to a woman who was half Lakota. She was a medicine woman, shaman, healer for I was with her for 17 years. So, in those trainings, I mean, some of the things I do are from their trainings, but I would say that what happens when you do a lot of training is that you also then open to your own, claiming your own wisdom and access to for lack of a better word, your guides and your teams that are guiding you, and that you get guidance through, you won't call it non-incarnated guidance.
I definitely feel that because, like, when I do my sessions with the animals, I did 4 classes in body talk, and because I'm open as a channel for these sessions, I get stuff I haven't been trained on yet. So I love that I'm that open just as a conduit. And I catch myself regularly because I don't do anything. I facilitate. I'm the conduit through which things come. And that surrender to that greater aspect of self or that source self or my guides and angels, however they come through, is such a magical feeling because I know it's part of me is in it because it's like that aspect of me, that flavor, that essence of me, but it's coming through and it just magnifies outside of me.
Yeah, and so So you're reaching a certain level where you, it sounds like you completely trust yourself and trust what comes through.
And it's such a great experience because like when we get to that point of removing the small self from the equation, I'll say it, it's so much more interesting. I feel like I'm like a little kid that's opening a present or something like that because I have no idea what's going to happen. And so I don't know if you get that feeling when you do sessions too, because yes, you have a sense of what the person is experiencing, but like then what unfolds from that is just, for me, it's pretty magical.
Yeah, you don't always know. Like you might have a plan, but it changes.
So how did you, I'm just feeling this because I'm very deeply drawn to the energy of I'm actually going to say First Nation. I don't know why, but that came through as opposed to Native American. What pulled you into learning with those sages?
Well, the when I was studying with Heather on the Yaqui Reservation, I had gone to a lunch where it was called Mind Matter and Metaphysics, and I sat down at a table and the empty chair, and the woman was she was from the Rosebud Sioux Reservation, and I said, "Oh, I'm looking for a woman teacher," and she handed me a piece of paper, so that's how I got to Heather. And she was studying with Heather, and then someone I knew later, some years later, just trying to remember, said, "Oh, you would like to see my teacher or something," and that's how I got to the next one.
Oh, that's really cool. I love that because the serendipity of that is just so. So that's what happened when I met my first mentor. I was working with a business coach. And I recognize my multi-dimensional faceted being. And so like I like this, I like this, I like this. And I'm not really good at focusing on one thing. And she was getting really frustrated with me. Because I was trying to do historical consulting and voiceovers, and she was like, pick one. And I'm like, I can't pick one because I'm not just one. And so she's like, okay, here's this meditation from this woman. This might help you. And it ended up me dropping her and starting to work with my mentor because, like, I felt like, oh, it's all like I have to expand myself and stop trying to be one thing because that paradigm of being the one thing is an illusion.
So that means that you kept doing, well, then you eventually stopped doing some of them, right? Or
Oh
no?
yeah, yeah. I dropped her. I dropped the business mentor. I started working with the mentor I had and then I worked with like three or four other people since her and just, keep on removing the programs that keep me from being the divine being well, keep me from remembering the divine being I truly am.
Oh, that's a great way to put it. Yeah, remembering, because it is, there are a lot of programs that fear programs and whatever, all the other programs of how we're supposed to be that are running. But that's a really good way to put it, to remember.
It's more
And
gentle.
yes.
It's because I'm a striver. Like my trauma is come out in projecting into the future. And so my team, I love my team because whenever I do it now, they're like, "What do you need in this moment?" Right,
Holding
you're
you,
right.
yeah, holding you accountable, right?
Oh
You
yeah, and
hear it, yeah.
it's fascinating because like every time I feel it's not even like I can feel the question right as the thought is forming, like what about next week? And they're like, what do you need in this moment? Nothing. Do you have everything you need in this moment? You know you're taken care of,
Oh.
right? Then why are you like, that's still the trauma, just pulling you back in the future. And it's just, wow, it's just so fascinating because presence, I love presence. My mind does not love presence.
And that's kind of the struggle, I guess, of being here at this time, right? Where I feel like we like collectively, the group of people who are in this spiritual process, we're holding the space to bring more people, but we have feet in two worlds because we came from the programming. So we have that, and I think that it somewhere in another rotation of the spiral, we'll look back and go, wow, those people did that.
Right. It's this very interesting space to be at this time in consciousness. Because like I've experienced, this is really cool. About a month ago, Monmouth is a very small rural town, very small, and not as small as Weed, but small. And I walk into this bar, and the server is probably in his mid-20s, and he had a Flower of Life tattoo on him, and he's wearing like a quartz crystal in a bar in a small, like, and I was like, this is so cool. Because I wouldn't have expected to see, I mean, I'm not like biased or anything, but he was like, I saw this thing and I got obsessed with it. And I like, you're the third person that knows, everybody else thinks it's a cool tattoo, but you know what it is. And it's just so amazing. And I'm like, wow, this is like seeing the remembrance like real time. And it was just so cool. Like, he doesn't really know why he's drawn to it, but he's obsessed with it. And it's like, oh, it's happening. We're actually in the time of the remembrance and the awakening. It's just so cool.
Oh, that's it. Almost sounds like you could write a song about it. I walked into a bar and there was a guy with a crystal and the Flower of Life tattoo.
It's just really amazing because people that I wouldn't have expected to see are just opening their hearts. And it's not like, I don't know, for me it's been like the more I live in my heart, the less I'm living here. And this is like such a long journey between the two. But you know, that's like for me, having lived in Shasta, and I love my friends in Shasta, but I have met some people that are like, look at my resume. And it's coming from a place of ego. And for me, the ego has no place in the spiritual journey. It has like, honor your gifts 100% because they help you wake up. But if you're sharing the gifts or sharing the training as a way to make yourself feel separate, that doesn't resonate at all.
Yeah, the ego, it shows up. I watch it and I go, oh, let's look at you, ego. There you are. You're showing up. And
And it's
it
not,
does.
yeah, it does. It's not a bad thing, but that's because it's a really great teacher.
It's it's only not helpful when you're not knowing that it's there and you're responding to it. And then it can get tricky too if you get triggered, right? Yeah. So we're all sorting it out as we go. Yeah.
Yeah, I want to ask you a question because I was very connected as a kid too, and it just popped in. So I astral traveled, I talked to my guides all the time, and then when I was 10, my grandfather died, and he sat on my bed for 3 days after he died, and I freaked out and didn't have anyone to connect with because Fairfield County, Connecticut in the 70s, not like really open just to anything other than church. And so I actually shut myself down because I didn't have anyone to relate with. So what was your like cutting off part before you remember it again.
Mean, was there an event that
What?
I kind of cut the intuitive part? I don't know. You know, I think what happens, like you're talking about your own experiences, that sometimes we don't even know that we're intuitive, right? We don't even know that we're having experiences that others might not be, but we do know that we're not sharing them. We somehow get that, right? We're not sharing them with, especially maybe the adults. So, I think it, you know, just hearing that kind of message that my father was giving me was pretty significant. Although you're always still who you are and drawn to, you can't like take it away because it's in you. So it's still everywhere, really. It's in your dreams. Yeah, it's just part of who you are. That's how it seems to me. I mean, I know we do, different people suppress it in different ways. I have a friend who's very very gifted and can see all kinds of things and deals, but she also takes sleeping pills so she doesn't have to remember her dreams because she just can't deal with it because she has to deal with it otherwise. It's too much, and she has a regular job. She's a
That's
school
tough.
teacher.
Oh, that's tough.
Yeah. So, you know, different people manage it in different ways.
I understand that. I have a friend that I visited last year, and I felt her trauma. And I'm like, I could help you with that. And she's like, oh no, I'm fine with my anxiety. I'm like, oh, I get it, because I didn't know I was anxious until about 3 years ago because I had repressed it so much. I was like,
Yeah.
okay, so but I've learned somatic work, so I'm present with myself when I feel the anxiety come. And then my body's so happy because it's like, oh, you're actually listening to me. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I can express it and you're not going to try to repress it anymore. And so I had compassion for her because she's got that much trauma in her because she's a light being like the rest of us are. And she's not ready to release it because it's security.
Well, and she may not have this time and space. Like to carve that out yet, or she hasn't wanted to.
Because it's hard to go from like doing what you've done to shifting that into really deep self-care.
Right. And this time, it's not like a moment. It's going to go on for a long time because we want lots of people to do it. Really, this is a time. For us, when we clear our traumas, we're also it ripples back through time and changes the dynamic. So we're also our trauma is our grandmother's that was passed to us silently. And so it is in some ways it's a big responsibility, but there is nothing else to do really because we feel it and experience it as our own. But it goes to all our relations, forwards, backwards, to ourselves. So it's a powerful time that we have the opportunity to do that so that we can collectively move forward and get more about who we are and activate all the parts of our brain, that's supposed to not really the junk part, right?
All that junk DNA we have,
That's
right?
right.
The other 22 strands.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I'm curious to see what would happen when all 22 strands are activated. I mean, how amazing is that? Like, what will we be like?
We'll be able to probably do more healing. Distant healing and bilocate and do all kinds of cool stuff.
Oh yeah, I definitely feel that. One of the things that's come up in my awareness lately is like, Reptilian brains. Like I this is going to go deep because I'm feeling it and I think I can go with you on this. So I know that our DNA has been altered. And the curiosity, why do we have a reptilian brain? Why is it actually called the reptilian brain? Like that doesn't feel natural because if our natural state is peace and love and bliss, that feels like it shouldn't be here.
Well, there's a real negative association with the reptilian beings, right?
Right.
And there's a whole skew on not all reptilian beings are negative, and I'm not saying I agree or disagree with even the concept that they exist. But to me, that might be where that comes from. 'Cause there's a tail, right? The tail that develops in the fetus
Right.
and drops off. I figured that was maybe part of it, or maybe that's the dolphin part.
I like the dolphin part better.
You like that version?
I like that better. Because I mean, dolphins, really.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, it's so fascinating because we were talking before I recorded, like the interesting things that happen when you're in a very spiritually active place. And, I shared a couple of the experiences I've had in Shasta. And I think when you're more open, you see things either visually or experientially a little more keenly. And so when you were, and I'm bringing this in because I had a meditation last year with the Salish tribe up in Orcas Island, and I never meditated with a tribe before. And it was only 5 minutes, but like because of that energy, I actually had Mary Magdalene's daughter Sarah come in as an energy field with me, and I'd never felt her. And so when, because I'm sensing you've had that kind of alone and with a tribe experience of meditating or with a tribal member meditating, have you seen differences in the depth that you can go to?
Meaning with a group, or well, in the apprenticeship, there were many, I can't remember how many people, maybe 50 people or maybe more. There were different kind of levels, and we did have a group that I don't know how to describe what. Well, it was not open to everyone, and only certain people who'd had a certain level of training. So yeah, it's very powerful, and there's much more, well, like potential, I think, for doing maybe interdimensional gathering content, maybe put it that way. Yeah.
Okay.
And then also this is kind of an interesting concept, and I don't remember to talk about it as often as I think I'd like. It's a little bit off, but as you're saying, it just came in, so I'm going to
Yeah.
talk about it. So one of the things that's kind of important for people, there's symbolism all around us. And so when we see, like, we're used to looking at paper and seeing a circle on the paper, so that's just a dimension of it. But the circle app represents a sphere. So when people were writing pictographs on the walls and caves or in the Egyptian pyramids, those are representing actual dimensional objects. So to consider that if you see something, a symbol, so like if you draw a spiral, well, it doesn't mean it's a flat spiral. It actually is dimensional. So when we talk about it, that helps to expand our perception and to remember that when you're looking at something flat, that is being, sometimes people get symbols in their meditation that it's not one-dimensional. And then it has a purpose, and it has Well, you could say a metaphysical purpose, an application. So, yeah, I don't know. I kind of went on a different
No,
turn there,
I
but.
get it. I get it because, like, I notice on occasion, like when I'm doing my editing and producing, I'll like draw circles or I'll draw these lines, and I'm like, okay, this is really interesting because I haven't drawn in a while, but it's coming through me, so I'm just like being present to it. I'm like, I wonder what this is going to be, and it's some sort of reflection that I'm not consciously aware of because I'm also listening to the podcast, but it's like, okay, there's something in my brain that needs to bring this into form right now. It's very fascinating.
Yeah, sometimes it could come through you, or it could be something that you see. Like there's a, I mean, this is not an actual, well, it is dimensional. So like on the back of this, I think it's the Subaru, they have those stars. It represents a galaxy. It's actually Japanese. I think it's the Subaru with the stars. Yeah, that is actually the. I don't know. It's not Osiris, but it is a star system that they put on the back of their vehicle.
That's really
So
cool.
it's, I think there's different things that kind of pop out if we notice them, and that they can be cues or, yeah, they're speaking to us in a certain way.
No, I definitely feel that because, like, when I first started paying attention to triple numbers, I was living in Portland, Oregon at the time, and all of the commercial real estate had like 7777 or 222 or 555, and I'm like surrounded by these numbers. I'm like, what is going on? And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. So ever since then, I've seen them more and more. And they're just little reminders to me. I mean, if nothing else, they're little reminders that I am not alone in this third dimensional construct. And then if I dive deeper, if I'm called to dive deeper, I do. But it's like for me, the symbols are curiosity, definitely, reassurance, and guidance.
Right, because we didn't see those triple numbers until we all had digital. Because on the big on the clock on the wall, you don't get those numbers. So it just came to our consciousness once we all got our phones and our digital clocks. Yeah. And then you've seen them as real estate numbers.
I know, it's fascinating. It's like, okay, why am I saying, all right. And I mean, there have been days where I've seen in Portland, like just driving to the grocery when I was living there, just driving to the grocery store and back and seeing like triple and quadruple numbers of like all of the numbers. And I'm like, interesting. Okay, this is really cool.
So, did you feel that it was a validation for you of maybe the direction you were going?
I definitely felt it was a validation, and in some cases, it was directing me towards something else.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was very, very interesting. And the 777 is my grandfather's birthday, so every time I saw that, I'd be like, oh, he's here with me. I mean, it was really,
Oh.
yeah, it was really, really cool. And I mean,
It's
past
really
that, I
nice.
know it's a powerful number, but like for me, it was like that personal, oh, he's just saying hi. I mean, it felt really, really beautiful. And
That's great.
but other things too, like I've experienced any like so many different things in nature, how the animals show up and the plants show up, and how they are, ooh, that's an interesting word, talisman for us to tune into their deeper messages.
Right. I also like to send energy and to the creatures when they're there, well, whether they're sending message or not, because I feel like a lot of times people are looking for the animal message and then but to send the energy back,
I
because
love that.
we're kind of as a species, we're very arrogant.
Yeah, we are.
So it's
Yeah, we are.
recognizing their part of We're not dominant. We're in cooperation. And so to send them the energy, I always worry that, I think what did, it's like 50% of the birds have died in since the 70s. So part of me is worried about that, I suppose. So I always, all the birds I see, I send them love.
I love that. I love
Long
that.
life and many children, as Spock would say.
I love that. That's such a beautiful remember. It's like it's because I know. I mean, for me, big thing is cedars talk to me.
The trees.
Yeah, the trees, definitely
Yeah.
cedars, redwoods, and sequoias. They're kin. I don't understand why or how, but they are kin. And I have a tattoo on my arm of a cedar frond that I was guided to get. I'm like, really? Okay. And I remember waking up from a dream and being, oh my God, that's the coolest tattoo ever. And then I got it because it was very clear guidance that I should get it. And
I love it.
so what happens is I'll walk by, especially the little cedars when I'm on a hike. All I do is touch them. But it's like this cacophony of little ones just saying, me, while I'm walking. So I can't go on a hike with people, or I have to be at the end because they'll talk to me. And I'll stop and I'll hug them, I'll kiss them, I'll touch their fronds. It's a whole thing. And I would say, like, they weren't that loud 5 years ago, but they want us to pay. Have more interconnectivity with them.
Well, where I live in the desert, my property I have, I tell people this who live in Oregon and they're like, and so what? But I have 18 trees. Like here, no one has 18 trees
Wow.
because it's the desert.
Right. That's a lot.
It's a lot for the property, which is about half an acre. And I feel like they grow differently because I respect them and try and work with them and do my best to support them in the way without, messing around with them too much, just by
Right.
keeping the mistletoe, because the mistletoe grows in the mesquite trees here, so you have to keep it out because it'll suck the life force out.
Okay.
But yeah, the trees are very, very important, so it's cool that you have that connection.
It is pretty cool. A little trippy
Yeah.
sometimes, but very cool. So I want to ask, because you mentioned a little bit about your dream work. How did you come into that, and how has it informed your remembrance?
So I have, Carl Jung says that we have one, most people have one, they he calls it a lifetime dream that profoundly shapes their life. So I had a dream. I don't know. Do I want to tell this dream? I was living in Missouri and we have 40 acres and I dreamed I was walking down this stairway, and it was, which means going deeper into the subconscious. And there was a guy in front of me with a very black, straight hair, cut straight off at the shoulders, black, straight bangs, and then he was in white. And halfway down the stairs, so the stairs were kind of like, the earthen stairs,
Okay.
and but they were white, and so and then he took my palm, he turned around and took my palm and looked into my palm, and he said, "You were the Delphic Oracle," and at that time I did not know what an oracle was nor a Delphic, and so that's how I thought of it, and there was no internet at that time, so you couldn't
Right.
Google it or anything.
Right.
And so then it actually has become sort of a theme in some ways. So in 2007, my daughter and I went to Greece, and we went over to Delphi, where the oracle was. And I've done, I'm probably a good historian because I know more than probably most people do about that location and the oracles and all that. So that was really interesting to have that influence. And then later, there's certain times in my life where I've had very vivid dreams, and dreams, we know kind of the dreams that are not processing dreams from our day to day have a different quality to them. So, and we go through cycles. We don't all have these prophetic dreams all the time forever. There, it's just a cyclic kind of thing. So I do have some dreams that I process and use as guidance now. And then other times in my life, I've had all kinds of different dreams. And then in my course, I mean, I did study with Heather, and we did dreaming on the Yaqui Reservation because that's one of the big dream themes of their tradition in their medicine tradition. And then in my groups, we would do where we would plan on a place, a location that we were going to meet in our dreams. And then we would all meet there in
Oh,
dream time.
cool.
And then come back and talk about them. And then it kind of rumples your mind a bit when people go, "Oh yeah, I saw that. I was there, yeah." And then somebody will add something, and they'll go, someone else will go, "Oh yeah." So that it's kind of a it's fun to do that. But the other thing about dreaming is that it's a different level of consciousness. So when we do meditation practices, they can overlap. So you can dream your meditation, or in your meditation, you can access your dreams. It's a certain way to do that, but they go together. So yeah, dreaming is, I feel like it's a really important part of us that we need to understand. And I've had, I've looked at lots of different dream books where they give you different definitions of symbols. And some people are right and some people are not. And maybe that definition of the symbol was right for that person, but it's not always right for everyone because you have to have the context. So it could be like if someone goes, "Oh, I saw a fox." Well, it's not relevant if the fox was driving a car versus
Right.
running in the forest. So it's all, there's different ways to interpret things.
I completely get that.
Yeah.
I had a dream a couple of weeks ago, and I was on a mountain, and I look at the trail, and the trail is turned to ice. And so I have the option of ice or walking on the snow. And I wake up from that dream. I'm like, so what was that about? And my team says to me, oh, we were just checking to make sure you got your discernment. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I thought this was going to be this really complicated, like, I don't even know what I thought it was going to be, but it was like, no, you made the right choice. You walked in the snow. That's what we just want to make sure you weren't going to be stupid and do something. It's like, okay.
Well, another thing about dreams is that because we are very oriented to this time window, you can have a dream, which you could call it a precognitive dream, that gives you information about an event that is going to happen later, but you don't know that it's a precognitive dream until the event happens. But that's why you have to remember the dream. So time can, at least in dreaming and meditations, the time can go back and forth. But we have to be able to catch the symbols in order to draw upon them. So,
Well, that's interesting. And then I'm getting guided because, like, there's dreams, and then there's also a different quality of like an out of body experience slash astral traveling.
right.
And sometimes I will think I'm dreaming, but I'm traveling somewhere that I've never been, but it feels familiar. And then
Right.
I'll wake up tired.
Oh, been working all night.
Been working all night.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I know it's different than a dream because I can sense, because it feels like I'm actively participating in something.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, I don't know how to describe that differentiation, but I definitely feel it. Do you have any language for that?
I don't know language. I'm not sure what you mean. You
Well,
mean
like to
a different
describe it better.
definition?
Yeah, like a way to describe the quality of astral traveling versus a dream.
Well, here's how I figure it is that also when people have dreams, we'll call them dreams in quotation marks, when someone passes, because I think the statistics are like 90% of people have some kind of experience with the person after they pass
Oh,
when they're
wow.
close. And a lot of times it can be, it's in dreams, right?
Okay.
That because we're so programmed, we can't tolerate the notion that we would be able to see them in waking consciousness. So it has to be perceived in a quote dream,
Okay,
right?
that makes
And
sense.
so the same with when you're working or you're asked to travel, like I know those kind of dreams you're talking about where you wake up and you go, I'm like, oh, okay, I had that dream. You know, I was flying somewhere and it's a dream, but no, you were really gone somewhere and you're really coming back. And
Yeah.
it is translated to our consciousness kind of like it was a dream. So to me, the way that you differentiate is writing them down, writing them down, writing them down. And then it helps to kind of filter how it feels.
Okay.
And then just kind of a little side note about dreaming is the best way to remember your dreams is to move as little as possible and repeat the dream before you move. Because they're slippery, they dissipate, right? So repeat it before you move and or even a couple times if you can,
Oh,
because
cool.
it starts to go away and then write it down.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah, write it down. Like so if you're, you know, if you're sleeping on your side or however, just stay there and then go through it. And then a lot of times if people write it down, you start to remember a little bit more because the writing helps to hold it too, to hold the information and can trigger, oh yeah, there's more there.
No, I definitely feel that. I've had a couple dreams like from 4 years ago. Yeah, I guess it's been 4 years ago, where it was so impactful that even though I wrote it down, I still remember a lot of it.
Yeah.
Because it was like a shift in my consciousness level of dreaming.
Oh, yeah.
And so it was like, okay, I've seen aspects of it come to fruition, and there are other aspects that I know are coming through. But it was like, that wasn't a dream. Like, I knew it wasn't a dream. It was like showing me an aspect of my future self, kind of
Oh,
level. Yeah.
so like it was a precognitive
Yeah.
showing, oh, you're
Yeah, it
gonna
was.
do this. You're
Yeah,
gonna
it
do
is
this,
really
right?
wild. And it's different from like me channeling something. Because I know what that feels like. It's like me literally writing something down and not knowing, and I have a book that is channeled and it's still not done. But like, I know the difference of that because I know I'm just like, it's like I'm automatically typing and something's coming through me. But this was like a, because I remember like waking up, like the first part of the dream was finding the name of someone, going to the bathroom, coming back, and then falling back into sleep and having found that person that I was looking for. And I mean, it was trippy, and it was like four different scenes and in the very strange scenes. And by the end of it, I had shifted my consciousness somehow, and I don't even know how that happened. But
So,
it's
meaning that you saw yourself doing things in the future that you were like acquiring, I don't know, aptitude or skill.
yeah, and feeling a different life way of being. I was like,
Oh,
wow.
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was really, really cool. And so, I mean, it's fascinating how when we're open, how profound they can be.
And also, like when you manifest stuff, the way the best, in a way, like when you can feel it in your body, then you can own it. And it sounds like you already remembered because the dream showed you were already doing it. So you had the feeling of it.
Yeah. It's
So
pretty
that's
amazing.
real. Yeah, that's very interesting.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's like a method, maybe. You could dream the
If I
method,
could
then
figure
you.
that
Yeah.
I did
We'll have to
this.
work on it.
I don't know how I would do that yet, but if it's going to come through, it will. Well, I am grateful for you. And I want to ask you one final question, and that is, how do people find you?
I have two websites. One is the number 3melete.com, and that one is sound programs for there's five different sound programs.
Oh, cool.
And I guess I'll list them real quick. One is getting good sleep, one is pain management, one is a healing program that's good for people with trauma, recovery, addiction, and one, see, that's four. And then the last one is spiritual awakening and transformative experiences. It's also good for people using psychedelics. So the healing program and the spiritual awakening one, they give people methods to anchor the energy so they can process it so it up levels, so it's not a spiked out experience, and also to continue to
That's
keep
beautiful.
keeping it rolling. And then the other website is transformationalwisdom.com. Yeah, so thank you for asking.
Oh,
Yeah,
you're so welcome.
and thank you for you. I really appreciate your energy. Very
Thank
lovely,
you.
and it's awesome to hear about your work with animals.
Thank you. Thank
Yeah.
you. It has truly been a joy and a pleasure to meet you and have this beautiful conversation with you. And I'm so grateful for you.
Thank you so much. And also with you. And I'm grateful you're doing this podcast and bringing all this stuff to people that it's
Thank
really
you.
helpful.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Can you help me redefine truth and preservation of our soul shine? I can feel it, yours and mine. Close your eyes and witness it inside. In your bones, you will know. Trust and let go and let it flow.